of the project named Pythagoras, and they are here Vasiliki Moutafi, Despina Nazu, and Natasha Ioannidou. There are three other members of the group who are not present here with us: Paris Tsartas, Smaragda Zagotsi, and Areti Vatsaga. And here we move from the context of domestic work to the context of enterprises. And I think that we can have another comparative perspective in this workshop. And I want to call Vasiliki Moutafi to introduce us to their work, to the work of the group.
Thank you.
Can I make a small intervention? Please, let's try all of us to speak a little bit more louder. Can you hear me?
Well, I think everybody can hear me. I'll speak loud. Okay. Yes, we will shift a little bit now. Maybe a lot. To gender work in tourism, but not domestic work, not dependent work. Business. Women in business, in tourist business. Individual business, family business, cooperative businesses. I will need a couple, 10, 15 minutes to introduce you to our project and develop a little bit the analytical issues. It's a project that's approached its end. In fact, the reason we could not invite guests to contribute is that there were no money left. We couldn't officially, the program is closed, so therefore we could not draw any money, even though there's money left. So therefore, you will have to hear just myself and our two basic researchers. Hopefully in a few months, an ethnography will come out of this project. Originally in English, some work has been published in Greek, some work has already been published in English, and I'm sure you find it interesting. Let me begin by saying that an interest in understanding gender in tourism is well established in social science research and theory, as it is understood that tourism processes are constructed from gendered societies ordered by gender relations. Within the anthropological literature, we can locate quite a few good studies of tourism that adopt a gender-aware framework, furthering our understanding of how the interlocking dimensions of gender as identity and social relations work. The research project I will introduce to you as its academic director does not just contribute to the infusion of gender theory in the study of tourism. More important is its contribution to Greek ethnography, which can be traced at several levels. It gives us a gender analysis of a type of women's and men's economic activity, delving into issues of household experience and agency. Women's activities constitute a form of agency enacted within culture gender constructions, but they also inform and even transform, in some cases, such constructions. Haraway's concept of situated knowledge is useful here in grappling with questions relating to gender-specific host responses in touristically developing or developed communities. This situated knowledge offers a focal point for exploring women's and men's connections to the tourist market as conjugal partners, parents, sons, daughters, entrepreneurs, and as cultural mediators in different economic and sociocultural contexts. Our research project also enables us to reconsider the work-family interface, as well as the analytical significance of binary constructions, such as those between domestic space, invisible work, and production for use value, on the one hand, and public space, visible work, and production for exchange value, on the other. In other words, it examines how an inside, domestic and the household, impinges on and informs an outside, these are in quotes, businesses and economic practices, and vice versa. Since the tourist product, a combination of geographical knowledge, services, but also culture in the sense of practices, imagery, signs, is consumed in situ, another issue this research has developed is how men and women as owners and managers of tourism enterprises differ in their engagement with the construction and selling of otherness. Let me now turn to the project itself. This has been a 30-month research project carried out on Lesbos, especially the northern part of the island, specifically Petra and Molivos, and Mykonos, another island in the Cyclades. It seeks to investigate women's work in family, individual and cooperative enterprises in tourism, especially in small hotels and rooms rental units in or outside the context of rural tourism. Women's work in the tourist industry has been one of the least investigated areas in social anthropology and especially in Greek ethnography. My work goes back to the 80s, in fact. Our knowledge on this issue derives mainly from the sociology of work as it intersects with women's studies or from the fields of urban and rural sociology that tend to emphasize categorizations and definitions of the particular type of work. Taking into consideration the theoretical knowledge produced by the above-mentioned fields, our research team has studied anew from an anthropological point of view that focuses on gendered practices, women's work in family and individual businesses, as well as in agro-tourist cooperatives on the two islands. As it penetrated deeply into issues concerning the articulation of gender and entrepreneurship, the research has enriched our understanding of the cultural constitution of gendered entrepreneurial practices. Although within the sociological literature, women's cooperative entrepreneurial experiences in rural areas, especially in Greece, constitute a popular research subject, the analytical focus adopted in most cases, I would say, does not facilitate an understanding of the cultural constitution of these experiences. At another level, important investigation, though also limited in its extent, has been conducted on ethnic economies, in quotes, ethnic economies. From the perspective of ethnic and immigration studies, the immigrants or migrants or minorities' entrepreneurship has been approached from the standpoint of its impacts on host cultures and identity-related processes in the context of multicultural and hybridic social environments. Our project does not examine issues related to ethnic entrepreneurship, but it does provide a basis for a dialogue with the cultural theory of entrepreneurship. More importantly, it contributes new insights in three main directions. First, the concept of entrepreneurship is interpreted within a particular cultural framework, while the gendered dimension of this concept is assigned analytical importance. In this case, the entrepreneurial practices are not approached as determined by a non-historical concept of the market or market institutions, but as informed by the local society's cultural codes as they relate to kinship, gender, and the family. The orientation of our research allows for an understanding of the ways by which tourism and entrepreneurship are also implicated in processes of cultural change in affecting the two societies that we will talk about. The study of gendered entrepreneurial and labor practices serves as a basis for an analysis of the culturally constructed concept of family business or family businesses. The cultural analysis of this concept, embedded in an approach that accounts for emotions, family interests as well as kinship relations facilitates the opening of a new direction in the study of the particular type of economic entity, family business. One of the main areas of our project's concentration concerns the ways in which business women respond to the challenges of the tourist market, especially given that the European Union has sought to encourage, through all kinds of projects, women's entrepreneurial initiatives, particularly in agrotourism. Taking into consideration this reality, we sought to achieve the following. First, to highlight the character of women's engagement in tourism in relation to the particularities of their family situation, age, educational level, and participation in other economic pursuits, other than tourism, that is. Second, to look for associations between women's entrepreneurial activities and future economic prospects of their family, their offspring in particular, especially in those cases where families own and operate tourist business. Third, to examine the ways in which women's self-determination or identity relates to their engaging in business pursuits. And fourth, to investigate patterns of women's occupational mobility in semi-rural, touristically developing or developed areas, and trace associations between various aspects of women's economic involvement in tourism and household organization. The theoretical basis of the research project lies in the conceptualization of male and female identity as non-inherent qualities which are constantly shaped, reproduced, and competing at specific moments and specific places through practices, habits, and discourses defined by the presence or absence of reflection on the part of the subjects. Within this broader analytical framework, the problematization of the concept of work and entrepreneurship, accompanied by the shifting of the research and hermeneutical focus from one concept to the other, constitute the baseline for approaching several emerging issues. These are the following. An analysis of women's and men's practices, as well as their discourse concerning their work activities in tourist enterprises, both in Mykonos and northern Lesbos, has opened the way towards reassessing the conceptualization of family, household, house, emotional labor, as well as the enterprise in direct relation to cultural context. The binary classification of public-private has provided a useful basis to investigate business places as areas with permeable boundaries at all levels of practice and relations between subjects. Through the study of gendered labor practices, the enterprise as a site of rationally, in quotes, organized action encompasses many activities and qualities of the family, the domestic realm, thus facilitating a reformulation of their cultural meaning. Through the comparative orientation approach that we adopted, the study of women's work and entrepreneurship in areas that combine tourism development with agriculture, which is mainly Molibos and Petra in northern Lesbos, and in those areas where agriculture is marginal, Mykonos, has revealed ways in which women's quasi-agricultural activities are redefined within local societies where they have developed. Meanwhile, the problematization of a series of concepts, such as those of man or woman farmer, or businessman, businesswoman, the ruler, the natural, tourist place concepts, suggests that the identities of people and places are multiple, have indefinite limits, and hence cannot be fitted into typical categorizations. Whether as businesswomen or as women farmers, officially or unofficially, women constitute a culturally heterogeneous category. They are also aware of the market code and its ethics, as well as of the family and domesticity code. Acting on the basis of specific notions regarding what is in their interest, they bridge the tourist and rural sectors, not always, of course, without tensions. The conceptualization of household and housekeeping, underlying the ideology of numerous practices of women owners of small tourist residences in areas of intensive agricultural activity, is definitely enriched by their work experience in tourism. A significant area of research centers on the meanings attributed to the concept of businesswoman, businessman, in the cultural context of the two sites of your work, Molyvos and Lesbos. Tracing the construction of this concept in communities that have followed different courses of tourist development allows for highlighting multiple and varied levels of comparison with reference to patterns of gendered work as well as entrepreneurial practices. Finally, a number of issues have emerged concerning the way interest is conceptualized in these individual and family businesses in Molyvos and Petra in comparison to how it is understood or perceived by the members of the Women's Agricultural Cooperative in Petra, especially since the latter's practices through time have left their cultural mark on the tourism economy of northern Lesbos. Now, more details are to postdoctoral researchers.
Thank you. Now it's Despina Nasu.
Yes. Yes, I shall discuss the cases, Mykonos and Molyvos cases. So, the conceptualization of female work in the tourist business in conjunction with the conceptualization of gender entrepreneurship constitutes the theoretical basis of our research together with attitudes to our gender, family, the household, business and tourism in Greece as well as internationally. The concept of work is open to multiple conceptualizations and it may be defined only in relation to the specific sociocultural relationships in which it is registered. As it has been demonstrated through various studies on women's work patterns, the meaning and experiences of work for women are complex. They include processes and labor relations that pervade the entirety of their everyday lives, both inside and outside their household and family. Work is not manifested only in a visible, commercialized form. It may also be invisible, non-paid, or voluntary. In the official economy, therefore, the kind of work classifies the women who practice it as co-assisting and non-paid family members. Women who fall into this category usually work in agriculture, while a large percentage works in the tourist business. From our research on Mykonos and Lesbos, we have come to understand that work theoretically illuminated from the point of view of the aforementioned classifications sets limits to the interpretation of women's everyday work in reality in their enterprises while remaining general and vague. This vagueness is detected when the term is called upon to interpret a series of gender practices, accounts, representations, and ways of dealing with emotions which normally lie beyond classic theories about work and the dichotomies that this entail. Without straying too far from the concept of work, we shifted our theoretical preoccupation to the conceptualization of entrepreneurship and more specifically to its gender dimension. We were driven to this shift while examining the activities of men and women in family business, in family enterprises. To be a man or a woman entrepreneur constitutes a life project, the end of which is shaped by subsequent generations. Their activity includes a working routine, but also a deliberation on how to make best use of resources in the future. Entrepreneurs coordinate skills and manage their own knowledge, as well as that of the workforce employed in the business. definitions of entrepreneurship arising from the bibliography of the social sciences, all these definitions have been submitted to questioning during research carried out on the spot. One must also emphasize here that the category of male or female entrepreneur was never used by our subject as a self-defining native category. Entrepreneurship, historically placed in the symbolic realm of the hegemonic male individual, identified with the figure of the entrepreneur. The key characteristic of male entrepreneurial activity is the aptitude for innovation, which is considered an internal quality of people and not a collection of practices within a socio-cultural framework. The literature shows that the self-evident relationship between the qualities of the entrepreneur and a model of male rationalism is taken for granted. This raises a cultural barrier against femaleness and alternative forms of masculinity. Female entrepreneurs are the other in terms of which the male entrepreneur is defined, thus the academic disciplines represent experiences of only one part of the entrepreneurial phenomenon. From another point of view, entrepreneurship in small and medium-sized businesses weaves public and private relations together into a gendered organizational model. The continuity between home and business and between the informal and the formal form the basis for such considerations. In tourism, the involvement of the family or the household is, if not direct, then implicit, and it defines the structure of relationships that are classified as entrepreneurial. However, in most studies, the interpretational emphasis focuses on family households and the division of tasks between two spouses. Women, as assisting members in the family business, are perceived as serving the financial strategies of the household, while men are usually perceived as acting in a self-centered manner. Methodologically, the process adopted in this project was mainly based on limited on-site research conducted on Lesbos, while on Mykonos a wider scope was adopted. Oral interviews of approximately 80 people, mainly women, were also carried out. Records of agricultural cooperatives, municipal documents, newspapers, and works of local scholars provided material that added to the corpus of our data. All four researchers were engaged in this undertaking. Participant observation and the study of primary sources, combined with reflective feminist research, brought to light a number of methodological issues relating to anthropological research under the rubric of European academic projects. Our greatest problem were the time limits imposed by the project. Given that research material normally continues to be interpreted even after the research is over, we were asked to end both the interpretation and the collection of data without ever having the opportunity to sift them through the interceding filter of time. An equally important matter for us was the type of research we undertook in seasonal workplaces. We had to operate efficiently within a short space of time, so we tried out a combination of research techniques. We attempted to interpret the results comparatively, in each case using the cultural framework as a basis and in an historical perspective. Moreover, we attempted to make comparisons within the framework of the same categories. The study was carried out within cultural frameworks that exhibit certain similarities in the commencement and the rhetoric of tourism development, as well as in the ways they responded to the provision of initial tourism services. Differences emerge in the basic productive sectors and the course along which tourism evolved over time. In northern Lesbos, the agricultural sector constitutes the productive basis, while in Mykonos, the principal source of income derives from the provision of tourism services. As an agricultural space, northern Lesbos, an area that includes Molivos, the research area, a village of 1,500 inhabitants, is characterized by a multitude of hierarchies, conflicts, divisions, and different forms of clientelist politics. As Papataxiarchi's study in the 80s has demonstrated, the area is socioculturally characterized by tendencies to form local unions of household groups while simultaneously emphasizing their independence as well as the antagonism between their individual interests. The cultural categories of householder, or the men who identify with the symbolic world of the coffee shop, determine perceptions about belonging and political action. The area's Turmi development has, nevertheless, brought about changes on many different levels, which, however, have not dramatically upset the balances in the productive sectors. Converse, at the other side, Mykonos society of about 9,300 inhabitants is, as a society of a rapidly changing agrarian area, steeped in the cultural code of agrarian societies. At the same time, however, through tourism, its cultural reality is defined by the engagement of identities with cosmopolitan, globalized practices and ideologies. Mykonos has been a popular tourist destination for the Western world for over 60 years. In the past 20 years, it has also been visited by a large number of Greek tourists. Over the years, Mykonos has become the leading ground for a large for modern trend-setting in Greece as well as the rest of Europe, and has been on the receiving end of various experimentation, particularly in lifestyle. In the late 90s, the prevailing perception of Mykonos was that of an open and extensive market of tourist services. Mykonos is also a place of residence for many and various inhabitants. It is inhabited by locals, a category into which one may incorporate those who share knowledge, values, and an insight of the local community as a durable communal space made up of relatives, familiar stories about people, marks left in particular places and on the ground, a communal memory. Together with the locals, economic migrants from Asia, Eastern Europe, and Albania are also sharing Mykonos space. Other groups of residents include the Mykonios by choice, namely Greek civil servants and also various foreigners and Greek who have set up business, bought houses and reside on the island all year round. On Mykonos, the different groups of individuals, such as the locals, employees and tourists, are involved in multiple and often hierarchical relationships. Mykonos society is characterized by an ideology of enterprise, defined by a cultural code of a sense of belonging. At the same time, this code is tightly interwoven with perceptions that render the male or female entrepreneur as an exemplary neoliberal individual, with faith in such values as competitiveness and autonomy, entrepreneurs are contributing to the gradual transformation of Mykonos society into a society of entrepreneurs and its culture into an enterprise culture. Over the course of Mykonos tourism development since 1930, an educated elite of writers, artists, architects and wealthy townspeople has both shaped and consumed the Mykonos myth, manufacturing its ecumenical dimension. Discourses of tolerance of the moral values of foreigners identified Mykonos as a paradise for all those who wish to take a bohemian break from their Western European working routine. The provision of tourist services between 50s and 70s was still on an amateur level and relied on private housing. The main characteristic of this was that the locals rented the houses they intended as dowry for their daughters to tourists, or they rented rooms to them inside the family home. Housewives were transformed into proto-entrepreneurs of tourism, redrawing the dividing lines between public and private. We have detected this redrawing of boundaries also in Molyvos, which had been equally identified by a certain rhetoric as an agrarian tourist space and the structure of the urban working reality. So, the tourist identity of Molyvos, an agrarian seaside settlement, is associated with the sociologist Mikhail Woutos and the social tourism of 50s and 60s. His idea was based on the notion of that the tired intellectual people of European cities needed to escape from the noisy urban environment and to communicate with a simple folk of Molivos, from whom they had much to learn, while the latter would also benefit by adding to their meager income. Molivos attracted intellectuals and artists of the time who were accommodated in various houses renting out the bedrooms. The protagonists of this tourism development were the housewives who were also engaged in agricultural work. Here too, then, home, dowries, dwellings constituted the initial development nucleus of an amateur entrepreneurial activity that drove many country women to renegotiate their gender identity along terms of greater financial freedom. However, the tourist development of Molivos and the wider area did not spell the abandonment of agricultural activities. The fact that the practices of the women concerned in the tourist sector break through territorial spatial boundaries with housework, agricultural work in the olive groves and work in the rooms, played an important role in this. For many male and female entrepreneurs involved in tourism, agricultural occupations are linked with particular cultural and historical relationships they have with the earth, inheritance and nature. Their agricultural pursuits play as much a symbolic as a financial role in their lives, complementing their ability to exercise effective entrepreneurial practices based on rational interest. So what about the group of women? The group of women entrepreneurs generally, Mykonos and Lesbos, presents many dissimilarities. It is made up of women between the ages of 20 and 70 with varying entrepreneurial experience. Some women are differentiated from others in terms of their Mykonian or Lesbian rural origins. They are also different in terms of their level of education, their income, and their consumer habits. Moreover, they also appear to have different expectations from business. In this respect, especially, there was evidence of a big age differentiation, level of education. Women in family businesses, in hotels, sometimes together with their husbands, but more often without, and with their children, work intensively for about 6 months of the year and hold many high executive positions in the business. In Mykonos, their working pace is more rigorous. In the hotels, the women work at reception, arrival and departures, assist in the preparation of breakfasts, man the hotel bar, oversee the work of the employees, and help out wherever needed in cleaning, transporting clients. They also devote time to interact with customers. At the same time, in the hotel, they take care of their children, and they educate them by transmitting certain value systems that combine entrepreneurial ideologies with local cultural codes regarding family, gender, or household. In this sense, women's work is embodied in social reproduction, reproduction of social relations through the creation of the new generation. The husbands bear some of the responsibility of this process as they introduce the new generation to the reasoning of a male-dominated entrepreneurial identity, especially Mykonos, on the basis of which familial success and prestige are linked with the idea of a hard-working, self-made individual that can shape the world. In their hotels, the women often cook for the families and sometimes for their customers. Within the same space, both during and out of the tourist season, they organize family celebrations and meet up with their friends and family. Often they move into the hotel for the summer months together with the rest of the family, inhabiting at once both public and private spaces where the local intermix with the international and where identities embrace native symbols as well as those of the mobile individual, the tourists. In addition, the women engage in practices dealing with the aesthetic development of the business, taking care to renew colors, textiles, furniture at regular intervals. Very often, spaces are decorated with family photographs, photographs of customers, or objects they make themselves. They also play a part in the creation of a soundscape made up of voices, noises, or sounds associated with intimate relationship and emotions that are usually attributed to the domestic space. For instance, the use of TV or of radio in the reception areas forms an important part of the home, as radio sounds contribute greatly to the creation of the domestic. A series of activities, values and symbols of the domestic space, therefore, are transferred to the business space, mainly by the women, in such ways as to indicate that each enterprise, just like the home, is a space where each individual can articulate her or his unique gender self in negotiation with the sensory, social, cultural and material environment in which the individuals live and work. And just as home decoration, hotel decoration is interlinked with the construction of the self in the present through selective biographical representation of the past and projections of an imagined future. The creation of a homely atmosphere in the hotel presents analogies with the notion of home creativity and homemaking in the domestic space. Here, too, it appears to have a gendered and, more specifically, feminine dimension, since set within this argument is the idea that women, by decorating the home enterprise and maintaining its moral and physical cleanliness, are simultaneously maintaining their own proper normative femininity. Compared to the women's intensive activities, the male members of the family appear to participate only occasionally as they are involved in other professional pursuits. Yet many young male children play an active role when they take over parental enterprises. Male participation in the family business is associated both with daily routine, repairs, agricultural work around the hotel, as well as with future planning. Usually, it falls to the men to deal with the banks for the financing of investment plans, even though the younger, more educated women take an increasingly active part. Nevertheless, it appears that both on Mykonos and in Molybos, the gendered division of work still abides by cultural defined boundaries concerning gender activity in either the private or public domain. Both female and male work in family-run hotel enterprises involves creativity and reflection, rendering the enterprise an emotional and imagined identity space which is never completely realized in material terms. Instead, it exists partially in one's imagination as a series of constantly developing dreams or plans, like the structural or aesthetic renovation of a building, as a complex configuration of identity that is closely interwoven with an individual's project of self or a couple's project of us. During the summer, in the smaller individual enterprises of rented rooms, the women work for the whole day with no strict work schedule. However, they do not seem to carry out a similar variety of tasks when compared to the women who run larger hotel businesses. Their work duties are also fewer when compared to those of female hotel owners in Mykonos. The majority of women who manage room rental units maintain a special link with their domestic space, as there is usually no clear distinction between the limits of the house and those of the rented rooms. Many have a common entrance, a communal courtyard, and the living room of the house is used as the reception, where the till is. The communal yard and the living room are, in any case, the place where the women meet their male or female customers. The morning course of the house and those in the rented rooms also get entitled, and they may be taken care of by the women themselves as well as their employees. In this context, and given the fluidity of the boundaries between domestic and entrepreneurial space, the metaphor of the family is used both by the women and their customers to indicate that their association involves positive feelings and trust. As the women themselves maintain, they look after their clients and make them feel at home, feel like family. They provide them with services in the form of hospitality, which is to make others feel that one is always there for them, to take care of them, and not feel as if they are in a hotel. Similarly, many customers assert that in the women entrepreneurs, they have found their Mykonos mother. Nevertheless, through metaphors that denote familiarity and mutually affirmative relationships, certain cultural codes are composed from the women entrepreneurs' point of view. This mostly concern entrepreneurial practices and skills relating to domesticity, qualities, in other words, that are associated with the female personality and through which the business gets a good name and increases its clientele. The atmosphere of the home, which is transferred through the production and offering of homemade foods, as well as the warm smile and the care for their customers, represents the idiom of the family. In particular, the connection between woman and the home seem to become each other's attributes, also within the tourist context. In general, the use of the family idiom constitutes an important symbolic dimension to what has by now been established as something that is very certain concerning women in tourism, that their work has been determined by the extension of their domestic roles into the field of the tourist market, despite the fact that many feminist researchers have questioned the connection between women, domestic space, and the home. The kind of domestic labor carried out in a business, however, is not like domestic work which is invisible or discredited. On the contrary, it is work that is recognized and paid for. Generally, household practices enter the tourist market as part of some positively assessed work practices that constitute entrepreneurship. However, when the entrepreneurs provide their customers with domestic services as women, they also acquire a new perception of what they offer as homework or housework. The experience they receive through the business redefines the relationship with the domestic past and present. Many women entrepreneurs carry their organizational conduct and knowledge of skill coordination over into the domestic space in performing daily calls. From another perspective, the domestic space appears as an open field of activity for people outside the family who, as employees of the business, are responsible for the cleanliness of the house or for looking after young children. Returning to the metaphor of the family and its use as a framework in the context of a business, we realize that domesticity is proposed as a space where it is easy to forge roles that are concealed with aspects of bonds of kinship so that entrepreneurs and customers may be facilitated in the management of invisible power relationships. The perception of I care for my customers conceals ethical commitments as well as power. Caring for the customer, which includes everything from a daily chat to the special care provided by the female entrepreneurs in cases of emergency, this special care is the basic principle that guides communication between them. This kind of communication is also based on the perception of emotional labor, which transforms the customer into a person with specific needs. Emotional work at the workplace is a commodity with an exchange value, and it is of particular importance that emotional work in the form of managing the emotions of businesswomen and the customers has been associated more with women and housewives from whom such activity is expected as natural. Symbolically, the housewives are both responsible for creating as well as caring for the domestic world. They are seen to possess emotional capital, which refers to moral thinking about personal connections and intimate life related to the self and others. While, however, the emotional labor of caring within the domestic space is considered a deeply devaluated social activity, as entrepreneurial practice, it takes on great value and shapes the temporal, spatial, cultural profile of the entrepreneurs. The kind of emotional labor as a refined way of exercising enterprise is detected in many families' businesses as well as in small units with rooms in Mykonos, while in similar establishments in Molygos it has not received the same of attention. Moreover, certain male entrepreneurs take on some of the customer care in the form of socializing, mainly outside the hotel space, in restaurants and bars. Entrepreneurial practices, particularly those of the women, that take the form of emotional labor and which evoke work and attributes of the domestic space, constitutes one of the biggest differences between the entrepreneurs of Lesbos and Mykonos. The difference is determined by the contemporary activities of the entrepreneurs, and it's clearly related, in part, to each woman's distinct personality. However, the long-term involvement of Mykonos inhabitants with tourism has taken on the form of a capital of knowledge which has been created by experiences and systematically practiced skills on the part of the entrepreneurs in their dealings with the others, the tourist customers. One rarely comes across such an accumulation of entrepreneurial knowledge in Lesbos. On Mykonos, the transformation of domesticity into entrepreneurial gender skill has taken on a cosmopolitan nature. The entrepreneur's cosmopolitanism consists in the combination of mental and concrete skills and abilities in order to deal with customers, crossing cultural boundaries and moving from one cultural context to another. Business is a concrete activity that requires actual skills, and in this respect, cosmopolitan competencies are essential to business success. This implies that cosmopolitanism is not always a matter of the entrepreneur's will or pleasure. Whether they enjoy engaging with people from other backgrounds or not, they need to do so for reasons of financial interest. If the Mykonos gendered entrepreneurial experience is defined by a wide cultural openness and re-examination of domestic labor as a cosmopolitan practice, the Moliviot, the lesbian entrepreneurial experience, has a different configuration. The conceptualization of interest, both familial and individual, has been linked to female entrepreneurial practices which, even though they initially presupposed a cultural openness, they were overall defined along the way more by values and attitudes of the local culture and less by cosmopolitan ways of thinking. In this, the degree of simultaneously involvement by women with rental units in agricultural activities strengthened the nature of domestic duties in businesses as consummating practices of the Moliviot household. Most of these women appear to organize entrepreneurial activity that combines cleanliness and the tidying up of rooms, tending the garden if there is one, as well as agricultural work in olive groves and fields with vegetables. The rooms are also built on much of this land. These women's agricultural activities carry on almost all the year round, complementing their tourist entrepreneurial activities both in terms of income and in terms of the cultural reasoning that allows this complementariness. In accordance with this reasoning, agricultural activities are set in a wider entrepreneurial life plan, which, including the rooms, is drawn upon by the women mainly around the axis of family interest and the greatest possible profit. In closing, I would like to note that with the exercise of gendered entrepreneurial practices in both places, we are called upon to review the consolidated conviction that in Greece the goals of both men and women may be social rather than personal in nature, concerned with the protection and advancement of family rather than the self. Even though such a view is generally valid, it would be very interesting to examine how, in a large family business, concepts such as family and self may be identified, and how men and women articulating different gendered accounts about the self and family may have different intentions and a gender-differentiated perception of family advancement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And we can now pass to Natasha Ioannidou. I think at the end of the presentation, Natasha Ioannidou with another case in the interior of this project.
The cooperative.
We can hear.
Now we are going near to Molivos in Petra, here in Lesbos. Petra is a seaside village and tourist resort in northwest Lesbos. It is the seat of a municipality and lies at a distance of 5 kilometers from Molivos and 60 from here, from Mytilene. According to the last National Statistical Survey, it had approximately 1,250 inhabitants, until it was incorporated into the Greek state in 1912. It maintained very close economic and social ties with the nearby coast of Asia Minor. Up until the first decade of the 20th century, Petra could have been characterized as a large village with semi-urban characteristics. Its society, composed of a numerically small group of prosperous Christian landowners and traders, and a large group of small farmers and landless peasants. Until about 1980, Petra's economy was based on the primary sector, the cultivation of the olive being the main source of income. The secondary sector, relying on the production and trade of olive oil and its byproducts, mainly soap, was already developed by the end of the 19th century and flourished during the first half of the 20th century. However, after the Second World War, there was considerable emigration among the working class strata, both to domestic and international destinations. The prosperous families also sought a way out of Petra, causing certain shifts in the landowning regime. During the 70s, many landed properties belonging to wealthy Petrans were sold, and they no longer brought in much income to the families, and were bought by small local farmers. Since the 80s, Petra's economy has been rapidly transformed into a tourist one, and the Women's Agrotourism Cooperative appears to have provided the spark for this development. During the same period, various companies or tourism agencies sought to negotiate for their clients with renters of rooms. However, during the past 5 years, investment in rented rooms in Petra has clearly been in decline. The large tourist agencies are principally responsible for this situation because of the attempts of their representatives to lower the prices of rented rooms in their annual negotiations with room owners, while at the same time raising their demands for the services provided and the comforts which the rooms are expected to offer. Many of the owners resist these tourist operators' policies by either not offering their rooms for rent or by negotiating intensely to gain the most favorable terms and compensation in the annual contracts. Nevertheless, since many owners have economic difficulties such as meeting payments for contracted loans, they are forced to give their rooms at not particularly favorable terms. The Women's Agrotourism Cooperative of Petra, hereafter referred to as the Cooperative, was set up in 1983 under the auspices of the Central Government's General Secretariat of Equality, and was initially supported by various state institutions such as the Agricultural Bank of Greece, the Ministry of Agriculture, municipal and prefectorial committees, etc. This occurrence coincided with the first years of government by the Panhellenic Socialist Movement Party, which had won the elections of 1981. The involvement of so many government agencies from the beginning, beyond demonstrating an almost exclusively from top to bottom initiative in the creation of the cooperative, assigned to it any number of purposes depending on the agency with which it was involved each time. Thus, the Secretariat of Equality placed greater emphasis on the creation of personal income for the women of the village within the framework of a broader policy of combating women's unemployment and underemployment, while simultaneously emphasizing the importance of the agrarian household and encouraging women's participation in public affairs. On the other hand, the Ministry of Agriculture and the Agricultural Bank connected the undertaking of the cooperative more with the so-called endogenous development of the countryside, a policy then directed by the European Economic Community, which aimed at the retention of the population in the rural areas and the creation of new alternatives to agriculture, resources or means for rural people. Here, the women were considered a potential labor force which could be utilized if, in the meantime, they had been intensely marginalized within the framework of a modernized agriculture. The women's connection with the preservation of cultural traditions and the environmental balance was considered as given. Substantial research and a number of articles have been devoted to the cooperative as a pioneer organization. One of these studies concerns field research carried out just 2 years after its establishment and already indicates a sufficient number of its problems. As we will indicate further on, our research confirmed these problems, which contributed to the cooperative's declining course. Another study, published in 1996, more or less confirms the cooperative's failure to fulfill its various aims, locating the problem in its from top to bottom imposition. A study by the University of the Aegean in 1998 presented data concerning the cooperative according to which its 36 active members, women, had a total of 210 beds available for rent in their family homes. 9 years later, our own study reveals a substantial decline in the number of active women members of the cooperative. We estimate, since it has not been possible to obtain accurate data from its management, perhaps another symptom of its decline, that these members who are still involved in room renting must not amount to more than 10 women. In the often pensive accounts of these women, one discerns common as much as different perceptions, practices and strategies within the framework of their participation in the cooperative. The reasoning and motives concerning their participation appear related mainly to the additional income they could accrue. Nevertheless, we noticed most of the women tried to, in the first instance, to avoid making any reference to words and notions relating to profit and interest, giving greater emphasis to descriptions relating to hospitality towards the customers. They keenly pointed out that the laying out of free meals, preparing and offering delicacies, or granting a certain liberty to their clients to pick fruits and vegetables from their gardens, or to learn the way of life of the family in whose house they were staying by watching the women cooking, or the men as they went about their duties, fishing, looking after the herd. This appears to relate to the way they themselves interpreted, within the framework of their own cultural perceptions, the meaning of agrotourism. In order to respond to the latter's demands, they attended seminars organized by such agencies as the Secretariat of Equality, the Ministry of Agriculture and others, where they were taught various practical skills, like such as how to make a bed, relate towards customers, tourists, and make handmade textiles, sweets, etc. The insistence of the cooperative members on the significance of their offering hospitality and treats, in combination with their own descriptions of other practices within the framework of their participation in the cooperative, mainly indicates a strategy which aimed at satisfying the customers in order for more business and greater income to accrue. Indeed, as we shall indicate further on, after a number of years of operation, the cooperative began paying its members according to the flow of business their rooms attracted. When it first established the cooperative, it included three pivots of activity. First, renting rooms situated inside the members' houses. Second, offering meals at the cooperative's restaurant. And third, making local delicacies, pasta, sweets, etc., and on a smaller scale, handicrafting embroideries. According to the women's accounts, initially during the first few years, there was great enthusiasm to participate in the cooperative and a collective team spirit had developed. Many remember with gratitude the material help they received in order to start out, like beds, blankets, stalls, and background to sew into sheets and pillowcases. It seems, however, that the enthusiasm and collective spirit was soon extinguished. the preparation of handmade goods was first abandoned because many elderly women left the cooperative due to health problems or old age, and on account of the younger women, even the daughters or daughters-in-law of these women, not showing any interest in this activity, preferring to concentrate more on room rentals, which they regarded a more profitable activity. We were able to glean the reasons for the cooperative's warning course through silences, insinuations, and more rarely straight talk. We searched for more data, but it was impossible to elicit or collate any because delving into them brought to the surface interests and personal, often selfish, strategic practices which went against the cooperative spirit, or revealed alliances working for the preferential treatment of certain members at the expense of others. According to the women informants, the cooperative members began grumbling, grinya, amongst themselves, especially from the moment payments started being made according to the number of nights customers spent in their rooms. It appears that this grumbling expresses the cooperative members' perception and performance of their conflicts as feminine, meaning their complaints, problems, or differences were not expressly discussed at the cooperative meetings, which probably had not been made a practice from the very beginning. More specifically, the cooperative started out with the allocation of rooms inside the homes of its members, a practice that was gradually abandoned when the women who remained in the cooperative all built separate rooms, albeit often near their homes, in their yard, or in another floor. The initial transgression of the boundaries of private space with the conversion of home rooms into tourist lodgings, as defined by the bylaws of the cooperative, took place out of necessity for extra income rather than choice, and in this context the conceptual notion of the private domestic space was forcefully problematized, even though this does not mean that it was reconceptualized totally. What testifies to this is the fact that the practice of renting rooms was soon abandoned or replaced by separate rooms built near the houses of the cooperative members. At the beginning, independently of the number of customers or rooms each woman had, profits were shared equally between all members. However, because some women worked a lot and others less, and some had more rooms, the limit stipulated by the bylaws was 4 rooms, and others fewer, the way payments were made was modified after some time, with women being paid according to the number of overnight stays it had secured. Then it appears that a more intense competition broke out between the members, a series of factors such as the disparity in the quality of the rooms, the service provided, customer preferences, and bad planning at the telephone booking stage seem to have created conflict areas between the members, the grumbling characteristically referred to by most of the informants. Initially, the restaurant also operated communally in an arrangement whereby each member devoted a few days of work there according to an agreed schedule. As there were about 40 women at the beginning, such planning could easily cover the restaurant's work needs during its months of operation during the tourist season. Later on, however, either because of breaches in the work schedule by the members themselves or by the gradual withdrawal of women from the cooperative project, the cooperative restaurant could no longer operate as such. During the last 4 years, it has been run by the president of the cooperative, who, it should be noted, has held that office since the cooperative's establishment and for 24 years now. She has retained the name and emblems of the cooperative in the operation of the restaurant, has been paying its rent, electricity, water, and running expenses herself, and has her children working at the restaurant as well. The cooperative's telephone number and office are and always have been at the same place as the restaurant, which has acted as the headquarters of the cooperative. Therefore, in some manner, the symbolic value of the cooperative has been appropriated, transforming its restaurant at least into a familial enterprise. According to our women informants, the declining course of the cooperative is due to a variety of factors. First, there are the life cycle and events in the lives of women. An illness, the onset of old age or death, a move, the marriage of a child which unavoidably changes the use of the rented rooms into a home for the new family, or having relatives stay during the summer. Secondly, are the difficulties of living with the customers within the domestic space. Thirdly, many members consider the deductions made by the cooperative too many in relation to their profit, insinuating there was either bad management or that the cooperative undertook expenses about which they had not been informed or with which they did not agree. Fourthly, is the notion of being a rival to the cooperative, as defined by its bylaws. Any woman who, while in the cooperative, acts in a self-servicing manner by competing against the cooperative, either by having more than four rooms or her own restaurant, has to leave. Some left voluntarily, but others were expelled by the board of management when it became known that they were acting in a competitive manner against the cooperative. At first, the cooperative employed the secretary for the bookings. More recently, however, it could no longer afford to pay for a secretary, and therefore the president also became responsible for taking telephone bookings. Indeed, a close relative of hers, who owns a tourist agency, Petra, and on whose website the cooperative is advertised among other lodgings, has recently become involved in that activity. The handling of the electronic room booking from its of the electronic room booking form is being done by that specific agency. Regarding the bookings of rooms, we were told, especially by former members of the cooperative, that the president began at some point to favor relatives and or friends by directing bookings to them. All of this, together with the fact that four of the 10 women still in the cooperative are relatives of the president, suggests that certain power structures have developed within the cooperative, which are probably not compatible with such cooperative principles as fair and equal treatment or of all member, direct democracy, and so forth. The president, starting out in the early 80s as a dynamic and flexible presence within the cooperative, expanded her activities by relying both on the networks she had at her disposal within the village, as well as by making the most of her acquaintances with important women who played a significant role in the Greek political scene of the time. From the beginning, it seems that she displayed certain domineering characteristics in the course of performing her duties, a trait which was reinforced by the reluctance of the other women members to get actively involved, a reluctance that had to do with a combination of gender and other social characteristics, such as age, financial, social and educational backgrounds, and their social networks. The tremendous success of the cooperative in its first few years, therefore, must owe a lot to the work of this life president. The women we spoke to, current and former members, but also women who have not had nothing to do with the cooperative, almost always referred to the president by her first name, an indication perhaps of the popularity of her character, but also the manner by which they confront her power. On the whole, we believe the practices of the women in the cooperative signal how tourism is perceived in Petra and influences the way services are carried out within its context. In interviews of 17 women who own independently of the cooperative rooms for rent in Petra, we noticed that those who had few rooms, about 7, gave accounts very similar to those women of the cooperative regarding the way they provide services to their customers and the way they perceive their work. This is more or less the case among women who have been renting rooms for about 20 years, are about 60 years old, and who began renting groups almost at the same time as the cooperative began its operation. These groups of women spoke about their customers in terms of hospitality, care, attention, direct contact, offering, emphasizing they did not view their customers only as money. Moreover, they perceived their work in rented accommodation as an extension, in a way, of their domestic work as housewives, as this term is understood within the context of Petra. Of course, there were cases of women who owned more rooms for rent between 10 and 30, often with a swimming pool in the garden and a bar or restaurant, whose services are usually undertaken by tourist agencies within the framework of bilateral agreements with the owners. In these cases, the way the women speak, and even more strikingly the men, has much less to do with such terms as hospitality and care, and more with terms like profit, interest, consumption, or money. Clearly, this has much to do with the financial exploitation they experience by the large tourist agencies that arrange for their customers, and with the different circumstances and the point in time they became involved in the business of renting rooms. It seems that rented rooms in Petra were not always set up with clear objectives of financial gain in mind, without of course completely ruling out such cases. We noted that the earlier such rooms had been set up, like in the 80s, by people who until then have been farmers, builders, bakers, fishermen, etc., the more vague were the objectives for their establishment. Many even changed their plans for inhabiting homes they were building for themselves under pressures or offers from tourist agencies looking for tourist accommodation. Most of them seem to have set up their rented rooms as an additional source of income, based on the one hand on their perception of women's work as housework, and on the other on the cultivation of the olive tree, which allows seasonal time off to engage in the tourist industry. We noted, for example, that efforts are made not to employ supplementary cleaning staff, not always perhaps for financial reasons, although that is an important consideration, but often because of the adherence to an ideal of good housekeeping on the part of the women owners of the rented rooms to clean and arrange the rooms themselves. The women's understanding of their work in rented rooms varies. It depends on several factors such as previous work experience, the number of rooms and their location near or far from the village center or the sea, how old the rooms are, the level of the women's education and age, their financial standing, family background. Nevertheless, we did come across women who spoke about profit and manipulation of their customers in various ways to make them leave money. However, in the women's accounts, we did not systematically encounter the term businesswoman as a definition of their status or activity, while all of them considered themselves to be housewives. Generally, we observed that the most important cultural incentive, the predisposition that prompts most of the people, men and women, to get involved in rooms rentals in Petra, is the improvement of the family standard of living, mainly to provide for children, for a wedding, a better start in life, buying a house, having some financial comfort, or having the financial means to make future studies possible. This predisposition is imbued with the cultural perception of good housekeeping, which in Petra, just like elsewhere in the Greek rural world, means, among other things, the effort one makes to achieve a certain financial wealth and some social prestige for the family, attributes that are normally expected to arise from the honest and often hard work of the family members, as well as the rational distribution of their income and expenses. This sort of housekeeping demands a more cooperative relationship between husband and wife, but often also involves the children, something which emerged from the conversation and practices of the men and women who spoke to us in Petra. In this sense, interest and the pursuit of profit are very much sought after, taking on a positive connotation because the aim is the improvement of the families and the household's life, which for the people concerned are self-evident values. Nevertheless, this cooperation does not always take place within the spirit of family solidarity and equality. Conflicts, apparent or underlying between spouses and parents and children, or parents and children, are a daily occurrence in the context of all these individuals within or outside their involvement in rooms renting. It seems that within the framework of cooperative housekeeping, as this is constituted in families that operate rented rooms in Petra, the contribution of women through their entirely gender-defined work in the rooms is carried out in such a way that a degree naturalizes it as an inherent characteristic and duty of their gender, since in some way the women are professionalized. This happens perhaps because the work of these women in rented rooms is further removed from the normally reproductive perceptions about housework and is closer to a productive interpretation, since it contributes in a tangible manner to the family income. It becomes income-earning work. The renegotiation of perception of this kind of female work by the women who carry it out, but also by their environment, the family, may contribute to a re-examination of their unpaid housework as housewives, while we can say with greater confidence that it contributes positively to a reclassification of their position within the hierarchical context of gender power relations inside the household and in the family. This, of course, does not mean the work of these women owners in their renting rooms ceases to have the characteristics that generally place women's work in the margins of mainly capitalist economic activity. These margins are created as the women are associated with values concerning the family and the upbringing of children, which do not allow them to move away from home to work. Nevertheless, this marginalization of women's work, as it is theoretically defined, does not appear to be perceived negatively by the women of Petra. Starting in September, when the tourist season ends, those women who own and operate themselves rooms rental units become again exclusively housewives, stating that they wait anxiously for this time to rest from the summer's intensity and responsibilities. Furthermore, by the end of November, many of them begin to engage on the olive harvest. In their words, knitting and embroidering comprise for so many of these women one of the most pleasant leisure time activities during the winter, to which they have no access during the summer because of the increased workload associated with rooms renting. Few are the women running rooms for rent that take vacation during the off-season. Usually these women do not live permanently in Petra, even if they were born there, but reside with their families in towns or cities elsewhere on the island or in the country, in Greece. The work history of these women differs in comparison to their counterparts who live in Petra or in nearby villages, in that before their involvement with rooms rental, or at times simultaneously with this endeavor, they worked outside the house, in the public or private sector, or as laborers, thereby carrying out income-earning work. On the other hand, those women engaged in rooms renting, who have remained in Petra or reside in nearby villages, define themselves exclusively as housewives. Furthermore, their off-season work, usually in the agricultural sector, in olive harvesting, is culturally perceived as work for the family, for the household. As already noted, the same women perceive in a similar way their rooms renting work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think it was another word that you have presented to us, but I think that we can try to explore the links during the discussion. I propose we have perhaps 15 minutes. And I must say that it was not the responsibility of these speakers for the delay. For the delay, I think that we had a delay.
Yes.
Accumulated delay.
Yes.
I want to ask some questions about this home atmosphere kind of tourist product. Because now it is very common in many places in Greece, in Peloponnese or in Ilion, for example, where you really consume not only hospitality but human contact.
Yeah.
I find it a very brilliant and sophisticated way of management, tourist management. And I want to ask if, in fact, the people you talk to have a conscience of this, or it is something natural, or
In Mykonos, we have differences. In Mykonos, this is a professional way of dealing with the customers, and of course they know what they are doing. They know very, very well. Sometimes for them is work, is labor for them. Sometimes is something beyond labor. They have special ties with special customers. But generally, the communication between them and the customers is something that includes in the in their services, yes. But in Mykonos, this kind of service is a professional service, and of course there is a deep degree of consciousness about it.
Another question is about it is about an expansion of the household or the housework, or there are new things that housewives or workers in this. I mean, there is a sort of rediscovery of tradition, etc., etc. And another question, the last one, is how did this type of service emerge? It has to do with the change in the composition of the population. There were some intellectuals from Northern Europe or Northern Athens that came in the island. And,
because of this kind of services?
How did this kind of service emerge from, I mean, it was an initiative of the entrepreneurs, or it was about funding from developmental law at the national level, or EU funding? There was a demand for this kind of service, or because it is a shift, I think, in the tourist.
Of course, there are differences between Lesbos and Mykonos, and Lesbos' case is more close to what you almost have mentioned. We have the traditional domestic roles and domestic way of housekeeping, so we have analogies between the this kind of services in the hotels and rent rooms units, and also this kind of housekeeping is a little bit similar to what they used to do. Of course, in the same context, the lesbian context, there are the similarities, because if we shift from the small rent units to the bigger family businesses, we see that this kind of services change the have a different kind of Content. We have the new generation of we have the children who have who are very well educated sometimes, and also in Molivos, in the big, they are managers. They accept this kind of character of label managers, and they offer something that it is beyond the house, beyond the domestic services of a traditional lesbian older woman. And in Mykonos, of course, as I told you before, this is the expression of these services is very different. I think that we have very, of course, we have the we have differences between the big the family businesses and the smaller units, the smaller rent rooms units. But there we have, for example, professionalism. I think the way that the new generations also work in this, operate their family businesses is very different than the old generations, and also in we have a more all the services are more of, are not so have become part of a rule of business routine, not so a housekeeping routine, because nowadays the most women does not clean, for example, the rooms. Some of them does not have haven't got their children with them. They have
paid work
for labor. Them. So yeah. So of course, a lot of things are not the same as used to be 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to find connections with the wider theme, as well as trying to find points of internal comparison. I mean, if I realized well, you haven't attempted to compare the Petra case with Molivos case, isn't it so? From what
I heard.
No. Yeah, which I find very surprising. I mean, for the ones who don't know, Petra and Molivos, some of you may find out during this weekend, are just 3 kilometers away. So in a way we have a kind of, let's say, more or less common cultural and social background. And you have two different instances of this phenomenon, a cooperative in the one case, and you know, kind of private households who are doing renting rooms on the other. So I think that's...
Maybe we will do it.
I think it's a good, I would suggest to do it. I just wanted to try to push, to have some ideas in this direction and see what comes out. So having in mind that, from what I heard, if I understood it well, what you are saying is that in the case of the Molivos, you have individual households who are renting rooms and who are relating with customers using a kind of kinship, let's say, idiom, kinship model. Okay, in other words, they try to they describe the relationship with the customers as, anyway, a kind of quasi-members of the household, kind of relatives. They try to be very inclusive.
This is more in Mykonos. It's Molivos. In Molivos, this is not very important. They don't have this kind of attitudes
Okay. I can live with this. Okay, let's put the Mykonos there. You have one model, which is a kind of using kinship as a way of representing and relating with the outsider who enters this kind of super domestic space, which is not a private household, but the rooms which are attached to it. Okay. And in the other case, you have the cooperative, in which the idiom of hospitality is being used. And as we know, the idiom of hospitality is used par excellence in the coffee house, and although it's used also in the domestic space, but it suggests a much more temporary membership. Definitely, it's a different idiom than the idiom of the kinship. So, this kind of contrast somehow made me think, first of all, what is this cooperative, really? I mean, in relation with domestic space, and speaking about the village, okay, I mean, more or less all these 35, how many, 36 households are, it's really a broad neighborhood. So, this neighborhood somehow is organized it rents rooms to outsiders, it's organized institutionally into a cooperative. In terms of the organization of domestic space, what does that mean? I mean, as far as the private households are concerned, does it mean a kind of redrawing of the boundary of the household? Does it mean that we have a creation of something new? I mean, how did these separate households relate one to the other in being members of this wide thing which is being called a cooperative? And does the fact that they use the idiom of hospitality mean something in relation to how they perceive their space, domestic space? I think that going back to domestic work, the fact that we have different ways of, different models of dealing with the domestic worker. I mean, you have a kind of kinship model. I mean, the domestic worker is being described as a member of the household, as a relative, etc. And you have other instances of domestic work in which you have a more professionalized relationship with the domestic worker, in which the boundaries between the parties are being recognized. I have the feeling that there is something there which can be more further exploited. Mm-hmm. And perhaps by starting thinking about what is this notion of the cooperative, what does it mean in relation with the organization of domestic space, this may be a good starting point to move further. Sorry if this is a very long...
Can I just add to that? Maybe instead of focusing on the space as such, although it's obviously relevant, it's the labor, and go back to these ideas of different kinds of labor, different kinds of work, because I think the two examples, and overall the introduction as well, was raising these issues of different kinds of work and how they actually overlap and yet are considered distinctive and are subject to different kinds of logics or moralities, etc., mm-hmm. and then the contradictions that emerge in them. I think maybe the spaces are important, but it's how the labor then is mm-hmm. shifting in between mm-hmm. all of these things and how they're defined. And one of my questions was, for example, the question about entrepreneurs. Where does this emerge from? Because in part of your presentation, it seemed as though it was a pre-existing category, that somehow these entrepreneurs were already present in the social context. And I was wondering how these different categories emerge. I suppose it's a bit your question. How does it happen? What are the kind of economic, political, social shifts that then give rise to these different kinds of work and identities and regimes?
Sarah Green has a question.
And given the fact that from what Desmond said, I mean, there's no four category of entrepreneur.
There might be a category of hotelier.
Hotelier, yes. This is not the native category. Yeah. This is our category.
One has to be careful because, especially, it's such a loaded category, entrepreneur.
Neither in Petra.
Yes, but it's not. Some of them.
But it is.
You are using it all.
The term entrepreneur and. It's not used from the majority.
Yeah. Just from the new generations, mm. and just from sometimes from the men, But no, it's not their own category. This is an analytical category, and I think
I wasn't very clear about it. Can I just mention one little thing before? I don't know if you know Silvia Yanagisako's work on
because that's also very interesting in terms of how sentiment works,
not only to reproduce and transmit, but actually all these disruptions, not dissimilar to the ones you describe in the corporate, which is quite interesting as well as a comparison between the two.
I think Sarah Green and then Ricky, I think we can, we have to finish right now.
After I don't know whether these two want to answer, because I'm going to take the direction slightly in a different direction from the question I have to ask. First of all, you should say that you are a Molivos.
I'm going to say that.
Okay, that's the most important.
Almost a native of Molivos.
No, in fact, I'm probably, my family is one of those from the 50s and 60s that escaped.
The Wouters plan.
alternative life.
Intellectuals.
But they, my question, well, partly is I also returned there after 20 years and met somebody, well, I met quite a few people who immediately said, where have you been for the last 20 years?
Is it possible to speak, to not speak so fast?
Oh, sorry. I went to... it was just to say that having grown up there, I went back after an absence of almost 20 years and was met by quite a few people who recognized me immediately, to my astonishment, and who said, you know, where have you been for the last 20 years? But I, some of the conversations I had there, where I'm going to tell my question, is into the people who are a bit invisible in your account, who is the tourists. And in the one of the things was that one of the people I met there was the lady who used to make, talking about domestic work, the kinds of domestic work that were involved when that expat, interestingly not called immigrants, but expat community, moved into Molivos, which my family was a part. There was a lot of people who did an awful lot of work for those people in the 60s. And one of them, in my case, was somebody who made my clothes. And she spotted me and said, you know, the foreigners who come to Molivos now are not the same quality as the foreigners of your day. But there was a reference to mass tourism and coach loads of people who come in and stay for a couple of nights and then go out again and so on. But actually, in relation, the questions I wanted to ask is partly in relation to that. One was about money, and a couple of questions, particularly to you, about that it wasn't just money, it wasn't just about money. Yeah. Since I'm currently doing a project involving money, I've become very confused about exactly what that means when somebody says it's not just money, particularly in relation to Zelizer's work, who was mentioned this morning, Viviana Zelizer, who did this stuff about that money isn't just a dissolver of relationships. It doesn't just cause ethics to disappear or morals to disappear or the domestic realm to disappear. Its presence doesn't erase those things. And so I think the an interesting question is when people are saying our customers, we don't see our customers simply as money. There's a very lot loaded into that, which might seem, first of all, they are seeing them partly as money, but how that brings that whole idea of what domesticity is, what the notion of care is, what the notion of, as the Yanagisako work that was mentioned just a while ago, what sentimentality is, and how that is contrasted to money. I'm quite interested in that question. But the other question I had, which really is slightly from left field, is just simply about the tourists. Mykonos, as you said, has a reputation for being this bohemian place and the openness. And one of the codes, I mean, in the UK, Mykonos is one of the top destinations that's advertised on gay men's websites as where gay men go. This island happens to be one of the top destinations for lesbians. But it's not advertised as such. And the complexity of that tourism coming to this island is so totally in contrast to the Mykonos case that I kind of became very interested as I was listening that it was Mykonos that was chosen to compare to Lesbos.
Yeah.
Because those two islands are particularly marked in terms of tourism to this country, in terms of sexuality. Very strongly marked gender tourism, and it's been a very complicated, problematic, difficult relationship in this island, where it doesn't seem to be at all complicated or problematic on Mykonos.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question was, in terms of, and certainly my return to Molyvosburg, well, I asked a little bit about that, because of course the main place is Skalaiosos, but I asked a little bit about that, and there was quite a lot of talk about how the ambivalence about that, of how to get involved in that business in terms of your own house's rooms and the kind of tourists you did and did not want in it came up as an issue. So my question really, apart from just noting I was wondering whether you chose those two islands deliberately because of that, perhaps not. my question really was whether, in terms of the room rent and the kind of development that was going on in Molyvos, in terms of renting out rooms and so on, whether there was any kind of attempt to police the kinds of tourists who were given rooms and those who aren't.
Oh, a lot of things.
Can I ask you the last question?
Yes, if it is in the same direction.
Sarah, Lesbos is also known for its religious tourism.
Yes.
Domestically.
Yeah. And my question is an extension of the first set of questions. And I'm just trying to connect the two projects somehow. So I'm wondering what happens when women who are in the tourist business employ migrant women.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially, I think it would be interesting to look at it on two points, which are both have to do with the restructuring of the household. The first is kinship ideology, which Arkis already mentioned. So we know that in domestic works, in the towns, employers often use this idiom towards their employees, presenting them as the daughters, and now we hear that sometimes they use it also in the tourists towards their customers. So what is the ethnic division of labor of this kinship ideology? And a second point is when this homely atmosphere becomes a commercial product, which has already been mentioned, and what if there is a migrant women involved in this new household? Does the migrant women participate in selling this product, or is it reserved only to the local woman? And if the migrant woman is involved, what does it mean? What kind of homely product atmosphere does she sell? Does she sell the Greek homely atmosphere or that of her own country?
And can you afford to relate through kinship with both your clients and your worker?
Yeah. And generally the idiom, the metaphor of kinship is something that it's very common in these kind of workplaces, in industries, in also it's a kind of way of dealing with the workers, as Kondo has already pointed out of this, that it's a kind of strategic to have special relationships with the other who work with them. A lot of things. Maybe we need another workshop for this.
Yeah, female employees, if I may add, are sort of incorporated in this extended, symbolically speaking, family. They're part of the celebrations in the winter. They're like they're not very distant in terms of relationships and in terms of how those are negotiated. So they're quite close to the family.
When you say employees, you mean people?
Employees.
Clean the house or just...
Employees on the premises, on the hotel and...
But it's not always like that.
But that's for the Greek employees that I know.
Of course, there are a lot of immigrant women in this industry, and by this that the immigrants are the base of this tourist industry. And but this kind of work is the business women's duty to provide the homely atmosphere. It's just the immigrants are on the in the shadow of these
invisible
are invisible. Of course, there are. Somebody can see them, but they have other duties. Of course, not these kinds of duties. But the business women, a lot of usually say that they love these women, as they love these women, they recognize their work, and sometimes they cannot do without them, they cannot do anything without them, but of course their relationship is hierarchical, is not equal, and the duties are very, very different.
Natasha, about the migrant women in Petra, there are many of them working there, but are in the back in the backstages, as Despina said. In one case, I saw an Albanian woman with her husband living in the rooms and working in the στα δωμάτια. Ναι, her husband with the husband of the household, which was a farmer. She had the duty to in the morning to be in the bar and servicing the drinks or what the customers needed. But it was the only case I saw. All the other cases were only cleaning the rooms and go away, nothing else. And about the not only the customers are not only money. Of course, they are a little bit money. But I was thinking to what you said that many women in our interviews and while I was in Petra said that they were very happy and they wanted the communication with the customers and the tourists. And I think that this is not it is something more for their είναι κάτι, δηλαδή κάτι προσωπικό που προσθέτει, βλέπουν δηλαδή όχι μόνο χρήματα, αλλά και μια σχέση πραγματική που δεν έχει να κάνει με το πελατειακό. Μια πλευρά αυτού του θέματος.
There is sociability developed. There is sociability developed. And these women who are in the winter, they're working in the fields and in villages where they don't have many opportunities to actually, socialize with other people, this is a kind of an experience for them that touches on learning other things, learning about the world, out of context of the gossip. They can even tell them things personal. They see it as sociability. They see it as a way of learning. Learning in a sense, opening. It's a kind of an opening of their horizon, of what they know, of comparing. There's a lot of things going on.
And this is a symbolic value for them, not only money. Maybe they mean that thing.
They accrue some different kind of knowledge. There's a satisfaction from the sociability, things of that sort.
And also it's a strategic, είναι μια στρατηγική για να πιστεύω ότι έχει να κάνει με τη συνέχιση
της... It's also strategy, yeah. It's also strategy. The one doesn't exclude the other.
And also, of course, the tourists were not the focus of our... But their view is come through the women, the business women statements and practices. Of course, the gay tourist in Mykonos is a very important factor of the tourist development. And the way the business women deal with this kind of tourists is very... it's very characteristic, and this I don't know the case of Eresos. Of course, I suppose that this kind of tourism has already shaped another kind of practices of dealing with tourists. Of course, we have to look also to the tourists, but it was impossible for us to focus also at this...
What was their attitude to gay tourists? I didn't understand.
For example, they have... There are some ideas. They think that they have a special way of dealing with the gay tourism because the majority of these business women in Mykonos work with this kind of customers. So they think that they are very polite. The business women are very polite towards the gay tourists, also towards the Greek tourists. For them, gay tourists are very pleasant and also good tourists, wealthy tourists. They treat them like something with a very special ways, and they offer them a lot of things that are beyond the contract. The contract of this kind of the services.
We will continue this discussion
during the dinner. Thank you very much for this hard work today.
I just have a practical announcement.